Be here today. Psalmist David said, I rejoiced. I was glad when they said, let's go to the house of the Lord. And I'm glad you're here today. Today, we'd like to recognize Pastor Phil, as most of you know, and if you don't, Pastor Phil is celebrating his 35th year as senior pastor here at Carbondale. That's a milestone achievement. Of course, he served here before. He was senior pastor. He spent most of his life here. But I'd like you to give me a moment of your time as I read this very important announcement. Whereas Pastor Phil Taylor has served with distinction as senior pastor of Carbondale Assembly of God for these past 35 years, and whereas Pastor Phil Taylor has been a lifelong learner, dedicating himself to study not only the scripture for personal growth and informed, balanced, excellent preaching, but also to higher forms of education, graduating first from Oral Roberts University with a BA in sociology in 1977, an MS in child development from Oklahoma State University in 1989, and a master's in theology from Oral Roberts University in 2007. And whereas Pastor Phil Taylor has embodied the mission of Oral Roberts to raise up your students to hear my voice, to go where my light is dim, where my voice is heard small, and my healing power is not known, even to the uttermost bounds of the earth, their work will exceed yours, and in this I am well pleased. And whereas Pastor Phil Taylor has done so not only through his own preaching, teaching, and writing, but also through his raising up of young ministers, pastors, and missionaries during his years of pastoral ministry. And whereas Pastor Phil Taylor's legacy has been and will always be best seen in the lives of men and women who have loved Jesus and his church, and especially those who have committed themselves to further study for ministry at home and abroad, now, therefore, be it resolved that Carbondale Assembly of God honors Pastor Phil Taylor for his pastoral leadership and guidance and his faithful commitment to be a student of the Word, and hereby creates the Phil Taylor Legacy Scholarship to be awarded to Carbondale students attending Oral Roberts University, effective from this day forward, in the amount of $500 per semester. Would you welcome your pastor to the platform?
Thank you, Roy. Thank you, Roy. Thank you. I love you. I appreciate you for doing that. Thank you.
Pastor, we just want to again honor you and recognize this milestone anniversary and for the continued leadership here at Carbondale Assembly of God. We love you and we appreciate you.
Thank you, Roy. Love you and appreciate you. Thank you so much. Thank you. You can be seated. Thank you for your kindness. I cried in the first service, and so, but yeah, just my heart's humbled by that, and it means so much to me on several levels. I commented then, it does make me feel kind of old, but I'm grateful that I've been able to serve the Lord here and as part of this church for so many years, and it means something to me as well, because we were able to establish the J.O. McQueen Scholarship back in the day that honored him and gave a scholarship to students that were attending one of our Assemblies of God schools, and now to have the board do this in our, I started to say memory, that's not quite right, is it? I think you do that after I'm gone. But anyway, I'm humbled by that, and I'm truly appreciative. ORU is a special place, some of you know that. Your students there as well, and it is a special place, and I'm just thrilled that others will benefit from that, but I'm truly humbled and very, very grateful. I had no idea they were going to do that until they met and did it. So thank you again so much, and the Lord bless you. Thank you for being here this morning. Thanks for being in the house. It's a good-looking crowd, and it's good to see kids back in and heading off to Children's Church and the Art Park. We hope that can continue. We gotta have people to help us. If you want to get involved, we'd be happy to have your help. But thank you for being here today. We announced that we're going to share some things to rejoice about this morning, and so I want you to turn to Luke 17, and I want to share a word the Lord just poured into my heart Thursday evening. I couldn't get settled. I knew we'd kind of said, we're going to share some things. Sarah had said, well, Roy's got a special announcement to make, and we were just mentioned some things we felt like the Lord has done or that we've been able to do that we wanted to share, and I didn't see how it all fit, and I kept praying about it. I was just kind of restless, and Thursday evening I finally got into the study and began to just pray, and I felt drawn to this passage, and the Lord just, as I began to work on it and into the evening Thursday night, I just felt the Lord was graciously trying to heal my spiritual sight and vision, encouraging me to kind of change my focus. And as that happened for me Thursday night, I'm telling you what, I think I slept better Thursday night, and Friday was better. And yesterday morning, as I looked at this again and studied, and just there, if I could share a little bit of what happened in my study yesterday morning with all of you, I just I felt like heaven came down for me. And so maybe you kind of could use that kind of spiritual adjustment during this season and your focus and your vision and things. And so I just pray the Lord will bless you the way he's spoken to my heart with this word. So Luke 17, beginning of verse 11, says, "Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And he was going into a village. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. And they stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, 'Jesus, Master, have pity on us.' And when he saw them, he said, 'Go, show yourselves to the priests.' And as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus asked, 'Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?' And then he said to him, 'Rise and go. Your faith has made you well.'" Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem for the final time. He was heading there and would face crucifixion and the resurrection. He's in this border region between Samaria and Galilee when he's met by these 10 lepers as he approaches their village. The term leper, as used in the New Testament or in the Scripture, is not necessarily referring to Hansen's disease. That's kind of the leprosy that we are familiar with in a modern kind of setting. It damages the nerves. There's no feeling of pain, and that's why they can damage an appendage and lose a finger or something or whatever, and disfiguring in all those ways. But the term leprosy in the Bible covered a pretty broad range of skin diseases, all of which were considered contagious. Consequently, the Old Testament, the law of Moses, called for these people to be quarantined, to be separated, and not have direct physical contact with other members of the community. So they were separated from them. So they were considered ritually and ceremonially unclean. If you touched them, then you were contaminated. You'd have to go through a process to kind of be clean yourself. And they had to announce themselves as such when others approached. You may also recall that Jews and Samaritans had nothing to do with each other. The Jews considered the Samaritans to be a mixed race, and consequently, they kind of essentially said, "You got carried off into exile, and you intermarried with the other nations around, and so you're not pure." Is kind of the way they looked at it, and their religion had changed, and they had kind of embraced the religion of other places. So they just considered them a mixed race, religiously and racially unclean. And Samaritans, on the other hand, didn't exactly have much love lost for the Jews. They just, nobody liked each other. But as the old saying goes, misery loves company. And these 9 Jewish men were outcast as lepers, so they were essentially being treated by the other Jews in town like they were Samaritans. And so, you know, I guess they just all had kind of experienced rejection and isolation. Nobody had anything to do with them, so it was kind of no big deal to just have the Samaritan hang out with them, because the more the miserable, the more the merrier, whatever. And so they were all in the same boat, so to speak. And the fact that Jesus had pity on all of them, including the Samaritan leper, was no doubt mind-blowing to some that witnessed it or heard about it later. It just reminds us again how great is his mercy and his compassion for all of us, for everyone, regardless of race or creed or color or whatever. So the Bible says the men stood at a distance. That was the practice. Kind of sounds familiar, doesn't it? And it's interesting to me, after 2,000 years of study and science and medical practice, they're still pretty much coming up with the same plan. We're just going to need to social distance. So that's what they were doing. Who knew that social distancing was a biblical practice, right? And I'm suggesting we not spread that around, because if we do, there's probably some news. Anyway, somebody will pick that up and there'll be a lawsuit saying it violates the separation of church and state if we're standing at a distance. So anyway, it'll get crazy. Anyway, so the 10 men cried out, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. And something about calling him Master just really struck me as I read this over and over again this week. The word can be translated also as commander, which I thought was an interesting phrase. And some of you may remember a movie back some years ago. There was a novel, Master and Commander. It's a nautical term. A guy in the Navy, you're a commander of a ship or a lieutenant commander or whatever. And so it's the word there, Master, can mean commander. So it's like they were saying, Jesus, Commander, Master, and Lord over all, have pity on us. And those 10 guys had faith somehow that Jesus was in control, and they were willing to surrender the control of their lives and their destiny, their future, to him. And notice they didn't ask him to heal them. They didn't say, we need you to make this skin disease, this leprosy, go away. They just said, have pity on us. And the implication was he could tell by looking at them that they had a skin disease, or that they were unclean. Maybe something on their garment indicated that, so people wouldn't come up to them. He could see at a distance what the nature of the need was, but they didn't give him direction. They were just saying, Master, Commander, we trust you. Whatever if you'll do something for us, whatever you choose to do, it'll be right. It'll be good. So we just ask you to have pity on us and help us and rescue us in the midst of this. And I would ask you this morning, is Jesus the Master and the Commander in your life? If you're in a storm this morning, you want him to be commander of the ship that you're on. Is he Master and Commander of the storm? Is he Master over the pandemic? Is he Master over the personal pandemic, whatever the crisis going on in your life or your finances, your job situation, your family, whatever it is? Do you believe that he's Commander in Chief and Lord over all? And are you trusting him in your life and in your circumstances? Verse 14 says, and when he saw them, 10 men, 9 Jews, 1 Samaritan, and when he saw them, he didn't discriminate, he didn't make a distinction, he just saw 10 men that all needed his help. He just saw 10 men that needed healing, that needed his mercy and grace. And so when he saw them, he responds with hope and healing. You say, well, what do you mean? Because he said, go show yourself to the priest. And that's what was prescribed in the law for anyone who had been healed or had recovered from leprosy. You were to go show yourself to the priest, and he would declare you ritually clean now and healed, and you could return to family. Well, these men hadn't been healed yet, but Jesus was saying to them, put your faith in action. If you believe in me, you'll obey and you'll go to the priest. And as you go, you're going to be healed. Put your faith into action. And so when he said that, go show yourself to the priest, even though they could still see the skin condition, they're thinking, he wouldn't tell us to go show ourselves to the priest if he didn't intend to heal us. Something's taking place. And so they begin to head towards the priest. For the first time in a long time, they're filled with hope, with a sense of confidence. Jesus has sent us on our way. It's going to be all right. And so with hope in their heart, they start heading toward the priest. And the Bible says, and as they went on their way, they were cleansed and healed of their leprosy. Verse 15 tells us the Samaritan, the one that the Jews considered less than, the non-religious one, the one that when Jesus said this foreigner, it's a word that kind of referred or implied that you were a pagan, a heathen. And so the one who the rest of them, the Jews, considered a pagan, when he discovers that the leprosy was gone, even though Jesus told him to go show himself to the priest, he turns around and comes back to Jesus to give thanks. I think he's thinking, I can get to the priest anytime, but he's just overcome with gratitude. And when he saw what Jesus had done, the Bible says he runs back praising God with a loud voice and throws himself at the feet of Jesus and just begins to thank him and praise him. He's just beside himself when he realizes how good God has been to him, and he just has to respond to this. I've had this picture of him just kind of running with abandon. I said in the first service, if you ever watched Friends or whatever, it's like Phoebe running. It was just kind of that kind of deal where he did that right there. And somebody, I won't say who, but somebody sent me a picture of their little granddaughter running exactly like that when she was little. I said, that's perfect. That's exactly what it is. It's just kind of that thing where you just kind of go crazy. Like, I've just got to get to him. And he just runs as fast as he can. And he's screaming. The Bible says with a loud voice, he's praising God. Oh, thank God I'm healed. Thank God I'm healed. Listen, it changed his life. He'd been separated from everybody. All of a sudden, his future changes because of what God's done. So he's just running, all arms and legs and noise, as he slides in to Jesus, falls at his feet and says, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. I had to come back. I know you told me to go to the priest, but I just had to come back. I'm so grateful for what you've done. He throws himself at the feet of Jesus, and Jesus says, wait a minute, weren't all 10 cleansed? I told all 10 of you to go. Where's the other 9? Was no one found to return to give praise to God except this foreigner? And again, foreigner refers to somebody outside the fold of Israel, a pagan or a heathen. And Jesus then responds to this Samaritan man by telling him, rise and go, your faith has made you well, is the way NIV translates it. And I think King James may say well or whole or something. But it's interesting because it literally translates this way, your faith has saved you. Some of you are familiar with that little word sozo, S-O-Z-O. It means salvation. It means save. And that's the word that's translated there. Jesus says, your faith has saved you. All 10 were cleansed from leprosy. All 10 were healed physically. But it seems this one Samaritan received something more. He receives salvation. He receives wholeness. There is a completeness in this package. It was holistic. It wasn't just his body. It's his spirit as well. He responds with gratitude, and something gets set free in his soul beyond just a skin condition. And he comes to Jesus in praise and surrender, and it brought wholeness to his life. He comes back acknowledging, because the Bible says he came back and threw himself at the feet of Jesus, praising who? God. There's a revelation that happens for this leper. Whoever that guy is back there, he has something to do with the God who is the creator of all, because he's brought healing to me. And he runs back and declares, God, you've done this for me. Thank you, Jesus. And responding with gratitude and coming to Jesus in praise and surrender brings wholeness to his life. 9 were declared healed by the priest, but 1 was declared saved by the Savior. Hallelujah. Something different happened with this guy. Gratitude led him to embrace the best part. He found Jesus truly as the master, not only the master over his physical body and physical needs, but master and savior of his life and his soul. And I want us to go back to verse 15. It says, when he saw, he was healed. When this man saw, when he realized what had happened, when he saw what the Lord had done in him, and for him, and to him, he just had to respond. He had to respond. So the Bible says he came back rejoicing and giving thanks and praising God in a loud voice and threw himself at his feet and thanked him. And I want you to get this. This is what struck me so powerfully Thursday evening. When the Samaritan leper saw what Jesus had done, his focus changed. His focus changed. Listen, we have to respond. Here's a sermon for you. When you realize, there's realization and there's response and there's rejoicing, if you're a fan of alliteration there, whatever. Realization, response, and rejoicing. You can preach it to your friends. Hey, I got a sermon for you. When you realize what God has done, it elicits a response in you, and that response ought to be rejoicing. It ought to be when you wake up in the morning and realize you've still got a pulse, you're still breathing. breathing, it ought to cause a reaction for you. You ought to respond, and it ought to be with rejoicing. Thank you, Lord, that you gave me another night and you gave me another day, and I woke up this morning and I found your mercies are new today, and whatever the day's going to hold, you're going to walk with me through it. Scott, it's going to be okay. Jesus is going to be there to help me, and my response is one of rejoicing. I woke up Wednesday morning, and my first cognitive thought was about all the stuff going on and all the turmoil. I mean, I was laying in bed, and instead of thinking about, well, I survived, I actually was formulating. I was like, and furthermore, that was the first thought in my head, and I thought, my Lord, it's even in my subconscious. It may be why I woke up for a week with hives, and so I feel like I've gotten deliverance from a skin condition because I've seen something in this thing. I mean, I'm going to wake up, and that's what I've done the last few days. I'm going to wake up with a realization, you know what? Jesus didn't step off the throne and surrender anything in this deal. He's still on the throne. He's still in control. He's still commander. He's still master. He's still Lord over all. And it's going to be all right. He's going to see us through this thing. And so we change our focus and our response changes. It becomes one of praise and gratitude and thanksgiving to God in all of this. Hallelujah. Listen, the leper took his focus off of himself and off of his skin and off of his problems, and he was just focused on one thing, Jesus and what God had done for him. Church, I'm telling you this morning, whoever's watching, you that are here listening to me this morning, if you'll let him change your focus and change your response to this thing and begin to rejoice and give thanks and find gratitude in everything, it'll change how we're going to navigate through this thing. Your focus changes when you realize what Jesus has done. I realize my focus may have been on the wrong things these last few days or weeks, and worried and fretting over all this and how it's going to work out and how are we going to navigate this and what are we going to do and how are we going to handle Wednesday night and all that stuff. And maybe you've been in the same place. God bless you. I said it last Sunday. We're praying for school teachers and administrators. I said to somebody this morning, used to be on a school board somewhere. I said, "Boy, aren't you glad you're not on the school board?" He said, "Yeah, good time not to be on a board." God bless you all. I'm not laughing about it. I'm serious about it. You're in my prayers today. These are difficult things. But we can focus on all that. We focus on the virus, focus on the response to the virus, focus too much on what we've lost. Our focus is on the changes that have disrupted our day-to-day life, or they've disrupted our plans or disappointed us and our children or our teenagers or our elderly family and friends that we haven't been able to be around. And the list can go on and on and on and on and on, and it's overwhelming. But friends, we need to do what this leper did. We need to stop and realize what Jesus has done. Stop and realize that God's at work in faithful ways through all of this. I'm going to tell you, I've always been a news guy, watch the evening news and all that. I've stopped watching the evening news. I just couldn't do it anymore. I record and I've missed a bunch of them. Sometimes I'll just fast forward and like, nope, not that, not that, not that. Wait, he died? Really? Really? Okay. And then you kind of go on through because I just couldn't. I checked Facebook several times, and I thought, no, I can't even do that. So I go on, see whose birthday I'm supposed to be saying happy birthday to. A lot of people I don't even know that I'm friends with, I guess, that, hey, happy birthday. And I try to see whose cute kids were on there, you know, and caught a big fish or something. And I say, hey, way to go, thumbs up or whatever. And then I move on because I just can't, because it steals my focus and it doesn't make me grateful. And so I just thought, okay, then I got to move on. We got to stop focusing on the pandemic and start focusing on Jesus and where he is in the midst of this, and let our focus change and our response will change, and it becomes one of gratitude. We've got reason to rejoice. You say, well, I lost my job or whatever, or you don't know about the sickness or whatever. I know, but there's still reason to rejoice in the midst, because God's not abdicated the throne. He's still in control. Amen? Amen. So I read something, a pastor friend, he's a friend of mine, he wrote a few days ago, and I agreed with part of it, but there was just one sentence in there, and he'd had a dream or something that kind of prompted some of this, and so I understand where he was coming from. But the one sentence that I kind of thought, no, wait, I'm not buying that. He said, our churches have been silenced, and the mission of the kingdom is not being carried out. And he asked the Lord what was happening to the church, and the Lord spoke to him in the dream about the importance of prayer, and I totally, 100% agree with him about the need to pray. And I've got in my head some opportunities for prayer here in the coming days, and that we're going to try to organize some times to just gather and pray. And I feel strongly about that. We got to pray for the nation. We got to pray for one another and pray for the church. And these are weird times. The Supreme Court missed a good opportunity yesterday with that ruling about the Calvary Chapel Church in Nevada. And so if you didn't see it, they ruled that a church couldn't have more than 50 people gathered, but a casino seems to be able to just do fine. And so I don't know, unless there's some reason because it's on different land, I don't know what the reason. I didn't get to read all the ruling, but I think they dropped the ball on that one. But anyway, there's plenty to pray about is my point. I'm not questioning about that. But the part that got me, I agree with the need to pray, but I disagree about that idea that our churches have been silenced and the mission of the kingdom is not being carried out. If the mission of the kingdom is to have church services in a building so that lost people can come into a building and find Jesus, then he's right. We haven't been carrying out the mission. But if the mission is announcing the good news of Jesus to everyone we can by every means and method we can, and to minister to people and to continue to equip families to bless their kids and to facilitate missionaries and feed the hungry and proclaim liberty to the captive, then I think the church is carrying out its mission. And I'm not just trying to put a positive spin on things this morning. I'm trying to help us realize the good things, some of the good things that God has been up to in the midst of all this. And I've said it before, and I'll say it again this morning, that God is up to something greater than we think. And when we realize what he's done, just like the leper did, when we realize what he's done, we need to respond with rejoicing. That's what the Samaritan leper did, and it led to salvation. It led to wholeness. It led to a new focus. It led to him stop worrying about what's going to happen to my skin. My complexion doesn't look very good. And instead, he's rejoicing in the fact that Jesus has brought healing to him. So I want to share some reasons for rejoicing today, reasons I'm rejoicing. And this is all about Jesus and his faithful and goodness to us. And I understand, well, I'm going to rejoice that God brought healing. But you understand that we grieve with some that didn't get healed and died of COVID today. So I'm going to say some things, and I understand God doesn't love Oklahoma any more than he does other states. Well, he might. I don't know. Now that I think about it. Pretty sure he probably does, but anyway. Oh, that's just too much like me. I love Oklahoma more than some other states. And we're not as wacky as some other states, so God doesn't love, he's God. So I don't think he loves other states more than he loves Oklahoma. I don't think he necessarily loves Carbondale more than he loves other churches. Every church can have their own list of things that God's done for them, and they may be praising him this morning that they're navigating through this, and they've had losses and challenges that we haven't had or whatever, and I'm not saying, boy, look, we've done something right or anything else. That's not at all the point. But I just want to brag on Jesus a little bit this morning. I want to do what, because this is our church, and this is the only one I know about the way that I do. And so this is the church I know, and this is our experience. And so regardless, I think every church ought to be doing this, praising God for what he's done in the midst of all this. And so this is what I want to do this morning. I read this past week a report that came out that 46% of churches are still waiting to meet for in-person services. I had no idea. That's across the country. 46% are still waiting to meet in in-person worship. 52% are open with precautions in place like we are, and there are 2% that are able to meet without any precautions of any kind. Either they're able to or they just are. I don't know. It didn't clarify in the report that I had. But I was really surprised by that. And then later somebody said, well, you know, mention a very prominent church. They still don't have, in Texas, they still aren't meeting in person or whatever. I had no idea. I thought everybody was pretty much getting opened back up. 46% of churches are still waiting. And I thought, well, Lord, I haven't done a very good job of thanking you and praising you for the fact that we've been able to be open for 2 months, right? that I missed it. I've been fretting over all the stuff that we couldn't get opened, or the stuff that we couldn't do, or dealing with all this stuff. And Lord, did I stop and say thank you, Lord, that we're able to meet here, that we're able to gather, we're able to see one another's faces. We've been able to meet on outdoor services and to see people. There was a lady that I got to talk to and visit with that went to heaven. And after that, it was my last chance to get a visit with her and talk about Jesus. And so thank you, Lord, that you've provided for us that we can gather. Praise the Lord, we've been meeting together for 2 months. Well, it's not the same. I know it's not, but we're here. Hallelujah. And thank God for it that we're together. 46% of churches are waiting to be able to get back. Oh, God, thank you that you've blessed us and we're able to do this. And for those who don't feel comfortable yet gathering in person, I've had so many people say, I hope you're not mad at us. We can't be there yet. We don't feel comfortable. No, we're not mad. We understand. I was on a Zoom call with a bunch of pastors here a few weeks ago, and they were saying, well, we're recommending everybody 65 and older stay home. And I just sat there thinking, like, okay, guys, you're talking about me. I didn't want to bring it up. I think there might have been one other guy. I don't know. He looked old to me, but I don't know. But I was the oldest guy on there. All these young pastors, Jamie Austin, a bunch of these guys. And I told Jamie later, I said, I'd have to stay home. Come on, guys. But anyway, no, I totally understand. I totally understand. But aren't you thankful that we had the ability to provide online services? And not just a Sunday morning service, but that includes Sunday school. Some of you watched Sunday school this morning. And our Wednesday night, our youth service has been online. And children's ministry has been online. Even our art park for the littlest ones, there's been a lesson every week from Valerie and Justin for those kids in the nursery. Thank God for it. Rejoice in what we've been able to do. I know it's been weird. It sure has been for everybody. But we ought to thank God that we've been able to do what we've done. Hallelujah, hallelujah, amen, amen. I said a couple weeks ago I'd felt this was a year people were supposed to come home to Carbondale. I've been amazed at people who have come home virtually online, who are watching faithfully, are watching this morning. They watch Wednesday night from other places across the nation. I had a phone call from somebody in Chicago on Wednesday night. Hey, we just watched. We want to ask you to pray for us or whatever, but we enjoy getting to watch the program, the service, the show or whatever. But anyway, it's just a joke. But anyway, they enjoy. And people because it's singing, we're singing the old songs on Wednesday night, and I've had people say, oh, we're watching, and we just appreciate those old songs or whatever. Well, hallelujah, from Florida to the Northwest or whatever in Washington, somebody responding. But I want you to understand, it's not just people are clicking like, well, I was real bored and you guys were on, so I was watching. But we've had people not just come home to viewing, in terms of viewing the service, but I mean we've had people come home to Jesus, that have come home and made a decision to renew their faith to Jesus. They've committed their lives to Jesus in the midst of this. That's what I'm talking about, that kind of change. And I got to tell you, we need to thank God for the media team at Carbondale that have allowed us to have this ministry going on. Yeah, amen. And we had this, I'm telling you, when this all happened, there were people heading to Best Buy trying to get some equipment to be able to do something online, and God had already provided for us, and we already had a team in place, and so we were able to move to that seamless transition from in-person service to online, and now back to this kind of hybrid or blended kind of approach. And just know that those weeks when you were home, when everybody was home, and I was just looking at the wall back there, and nobody sitting out here, the media team was still here. Because we still had to have lights on, and we had to have cameras and operators and sound and words on the screen and all the magic makers it takes, and they were faithful every week, and thank God for the media team. And you don't ever see them, and you don't know they're sequestered back there in a dark, sweaty little room back there. They're just breathing stank air or whatever else. Hi, you guys. But anyway, they're back all masked up. They're in anyway. But here's some of who's back there. Phyllis Yandel and Jeremy McCrate and Malia Stevenson and Sonny Barrett and Zachariah Charette and Mark Gaynor's not because he's sitting right there, but Lee Miller and Dusty Hutchison and Zach Jones. Those guys have just, all those men and women have knocked it out of the park. Thank you to our media team that's made this happen. If you're watching and getting it today, you can thank, I don't know if you can thank Cox or somebody, but you can sure thank those people that are back there that are getting it all done and making sure. And by the way, our musicians and our worship leaders, they came up here on other nights and recorded stuff when we were all online so that we could have worship every Sunday. They were faithful to do that, gave of their time. And so thank you to everybody. And the list could go on and on, but you get my point. George Barna is a research guy that works among religious church organizations, that kind of stuff. Barna released a report in the last couple of weeks, and people have been talking about it on social media if you've seen it, stating that one out of every three Christians has stopped attending church during this pandemic. Not just stopped attending like a live in-house service like this, but not even watching an online service. One out of three not attending or even watching online. That's fascinating to me because I've had people say, we just watch all day long on Sunday. I had one guy say, we start on the East Coast with Brooklyn Tab, go all the way through. We watch Carbondale. We end with David Jeremiah out in California. And so they're getting five Sunday services a day. God bless you. Pretty good. If I'm in the company of Cymbala and Jeremiah, I'm doing all right if they're watching us in there. So if you're one of those, thanks for tuning in for us today. But one out of three stopped even watching online. Well, listen, I'm just telling you, that may be the national trend, but it's not Carbondale. Praise the Lord. Between in-person services and our live stream and social media stuff, we still have more than 600 people per week that by one means or another are engaging with the church. That's where we were before this all started. Hallelujah. We need to give thanks to God for that. You've been faithful. Thank you for that. People are still being reached with the good news. We're still trying to accomplish the mission, and you're making that happen. Thank you for doing that. People worried about whether giving would remain strong in the churches, and I know some of those mega churches with mega indebtedness are just thinking, how are we going to cover this? And it is a frightening place to be in, and you're not sure who's coming, and are they going to send their money in? And I wasn't worried about it, but I thought, well, boy, I don't know. You know me, I don't give electronically. I don't know how to do that. So, by the way, if you would like to give in your offering today, go to something or text 84321 and do something, or I don't know. I said one day, like, doesn't everybody do that, 84321, every church? How do they know to send it to Carbondale instead of, no, that's not how it works. So I have no clue, but you can give online this morning. Or you in the house, there's a box at the end. There it is. Hallelujah. The media team stepping up back there. God bless you people sweating in the back in the media room. That's how you do it. So thank you. And there's a box back there at the information desk. You can just drop your offering back there. But the reason I'm saying all that is just to tell you, our financial giving has remained strong through all this. We've met every obligation, paid every bill, been able to pay all the employees and custodians and everybody. We've been able to continue the support of all of our missionaries around the world and even more than that. So we were able to give, we met with the board, we were able to give monthly support to some of our evangelists for 3 months there because all of a sudden they had, all their meetings were canceled, churches weren't open, and we were able to bless them with income. This summer you gave thousands of dollars to the missionaries that have come through. Just a couple weeks ago, Josh and Lindy, over $8,000 came in the offering for them and their ministry. Over $10,000 came in last Sunday for Alan Griffin and his ministry. Praise God for that. Hallelujah. I shared with you a few weeks ago about we'd heard from Project Rescue that's involved in rescuing ladies out of the sex trafficking and all that. And I know many of you have been praying about that for years, that God would just shut that down somehow and deliver us. All of a sudden, there's a window. It was one of the blessings that came out of this, that in some of these large cities in the Far East and in Asia or whatever, the brothels were shutting down. There was no international travel. Businessmen weren't coming. And they were frightened of the virus. The sex traffickers themselves feared the virus spreading through there. They couldn't afford to keep these women. They couldn't feed them, couldn't afford to keep them because there was no customers, no money coming in. So they just kicked them out. They just let them go and sent them on their way. I talked to one missionary, in one country, he said they just, out of the cities, they just threw them out into the villages. Unfortunately, they were spreading sickness as they went. But an opportunity was given through Project Rescue, was an AG missions effort, that they could rescue these ladies, provide a place for them to live and job training so they would never have to go back to that life, and they could find the Lord in that. I shared that opportunity with the board. I'm happy to tell you this morning, Carbondale gave 20, we've already sent the money, gave $25,000 to help these ladies to be delivered from that. And there was a matching grant. There was a matching grant that was given to Project Rescue, and so they said, so dollar for dollar, it was going to be matched up to whatever, so it actually gets doubled to $50,000. Isn't that wonderful? That's the provision that God has. What I'm telling you is when you see what God has done, you just have to respond with rejoicing and giving thanks to God for what he's done. We've been able to give groceries to more than 120 families each month since March, and to top all that off, I mentioned this before, but the groceries have been paid for and provided by the George Kaiser Family Foundation, so we haven't even had to spend money on it, but we've been able to bless families in our church and throughout our community. We had 112 kids that attended a virtual VBS. I never heard of such a thing, but what a creative idea. Thanks to Pastor Brittany. Thanks to the parents for participating. And many of those children, their parents don't attend the church, but they were kids in the community we had connection with, and their parents came by and got the bag and the kit, and they did VBS at home. And let me add a thank you to the parents. It's cool that the kids got to have children's church today, but thank you to the parents that brought your kids to the Sunday services, and they're going to continue. This is the way we did it when I was first starting out, that the kids were in here for worship and stuff. And parents, I know it may be a little more whatever, but aren't you thankful in the midst of this that our kids get to experience Pentecostal worship and they get to experience the operating of the spiritual gifts and those kind of things? I think it's powerful, and they've seen mom and dad engage in worship and prayer, at least I hope they did this morning. And so when you realize what God has done and what he's provided even in the midst of all this, then our response is gratitude. Thank you, Lord. You're working this for your glory and for our good in the midst of all this. God works all things for good. We had 77 campers, plus I don't know how many college students and adult sponsors that attended and participated in our youth camp. And they had powerful times of worship and prayer with and for each other. I was there one of the nights or whatever as the kids blessed one another and were able to just speak blessing over one another. How powerful is that? And Pastor Jeff and Alan Griffin as our camp speaker, praise God for what happened, and lives were touched. And in the midst of the pandemic, we're able to provide the use of our missions house at a moment's notice to one of our missionary families that their field director said, you got to get out of the country. Well, where are we going to come to? And they reached out and said, is your missions house available? We said, it is for a period, because we got Josh and Lindy Johnson coming home for a few weeks. And they, 2 days later, they were in there. Everything was ready. We had the lights on, everything ready to go. And they were able to come in. And Josh and Lindy are leaving today. And I think the Hazel Riggs are coming back, right? They're coming back Tuesday. And so I'm thankful we could provide that for them. It's the blessings of God. Praise God for that. There's so much to thank God for. So much to thank him for. Protection for members of our church and our church family. I'm grateful. There's other churches that have been hit differently and harder, and family members lost. I'm thankful to God for his blessing. Miracles of healing that have happened. I don't know if I've yet processed the miracle that God provided Greg Mundus, the head of the Assemblies of God World Mission. And some of you know that story. You've seen it on, it's been on the news and everything else. Greg and Sandy Mundus are friends of ours. They've preached and ministered in this church. Sandy was the director of Europe's Children, which was the missions agency that Sarah worked with. So they're close friends of Sarah. She's been in their home and stayed with them, all those things. Greg was so close to death for so long. 5 weeks in a, 5 weeks in a medically induced coma. On a ventilator. They finally lifelighted him from Springfield to St. Louis to Barnes Jewish Hospital in St. Louis for treatment, battling for his life with people praying around the world. And there's no other way to talk about it or to explain it this morning other than to say God healed Greg Mundus. It's a miracle that happened in his body. And our friend Michael French, we were praying constantly for Michael. And he was in the hospital and so sick. I was texting back and forth with Marcia, and she was so worried and concerned, and we prayed, God healed Michael. We've been so fortunate. God's been so gracious and so good to us in the midst of all this. And when I see what he's done, I think, Lord, how did I let my focus get on anything else other than the goodness of God and the faithfulness of God and how you've provided and how you've blessed us and how you've been with us. And again, I know others have suffered loss in the midst of this, and here's what I know. God's going to be with you. He's going to walk with you even in the valley of the shadow of death. The Bible says he's going to be with us and it's going to be all right. His comfort is going to be there with you. Listen, I don't want to be like the 9 lepers that stayed focused on the wrong thing. And please don't think I've told any of this today for any other reason than to point us to the good grace and mercy and faithfulness of our God. Because when we realize what he's done, when we stop and think how he's gone before us and led us, I believe he's given us wisdom and direction. I believe he's guiding us through this. I don't expect everyone to agree with every decision we've made, but I know we can agree on this. I know we can agree on the faithfulness of God. I know we can agree that he's been with us through this. I know we can agree that he's worthy of our praise this morning. I know we can agree that God is the commander and the master. We can all agree that when we realize how good and faithful he is, it calls for a response of praise and worship and adoration and rejoicing. Let's be like that Samaritan leper this morning. Let's run to him and let's fall at his feet and let's shout his praise this morning. Let's give him thanks today. Let's lift our eyes to him. Let's shift our focus away from the pandemic and all the trouble and how we're going to navigate school and all that and all the controversy, and let's look to Jesus and let's start praising him. Let's start expressing our gratitude and thanks to him. Come on, he's worthy of our praise this morning. Amen. He's worthy of our praise. Come on, stand to your feet this morning and give him a shout of praise. Let your gratitude be expressed to him. Praise him this morning. Listen, if we don't give him thanks in this, we're going to miss what God has for us, and our focus will be messed up and misplaced. We've got to praise. And listen to me, the leper that came back with gratitude and praise is the one that got more than he planned for, more than he bargained for, more than he ever expected. And hear me this morning when I declare it to you, God has more for you than you planned or expected in this season. God's got something for you you didn't know anything about. He's going to surprise you. He's going to surprise you with blessing and provision. He's not finished with you. He didn't walk out on you, and he didn't abdicate the throne. He's the master and commander, and he's going to see you through this morning. He's going to surprise you. It's not just cleansing or healing. It's wholeness. It's salvation. It's deliverance. It's restoration. It's above and beyond what you can imagine. He wants wholeness for you, so we'll respond and rejoice and give him thanks and praise. Listen, one more time, stop focusing on what you've lost in this and start praising him for what you've gained. Teachers, stop focusing on what you've lost in this season and start focusing on what God's going to do to bless you and provide and give you creative ways to do it. I don't know how. My hat's off to you. I honor you for the hard work. Business owners, stop saying, I don't know how we're going to do this, and start praising God in the midst of this. God's going to give you creative ideas. He's going to show you a way. Stop fussing over the doors that got closed and start thanking God for the doors that he's opening and new opportunities and fresh ventures for you. Stop focusing on what you can't do anymore and focus on what you can do now with a new heart and a new focus. Don't focus on the pandemic. Focus on the master and commander, the way maker, the provider for us. Jesus said, when these things start to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Not your disaster, your redemption. There's something better in store for God's people. Don't put your head down. Look up and rejoice again today. Oh, let's shout to the Lord one more time this morning. Lord, we praise you and thank you for victory that's ours today. There's gratitude in our heart for who you are and for what you've done. Oh, don't stop yet. Come on, Lord. Come on. Oh, God, we praise you this morning. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, shout to the Lord this morning. Shout to the Lord this morning. Oh, listen, there's an old song we used to sing. You don't really need my help, do you? You got it. I had, you know, when you're old. Well, when you're old, this is what you do when you're old. You get over here. I said, we just got to do a little bit of this before we can leave. I know we got kids' church coming on here in a minute. I'll just go ahead, PJ. Look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. Oh, come on. He healed my body. He touched my mind. He saved me just in time. I'm gonna praise his name. Each day is just the same. Come on and praise him. Look what the Lord has done. When you realize what he's done, you can't help but praise him. Look what the Lord has done. Come on, sing it. Look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. He touched my mind.
He saved me right on time, and I'm gonna praise His name. Each day He's just the same. Come on and praise Him. Look what the Lord has done.
Somebody shout to Him and let's sing it one more time.
Look what the Lord has done.
Hallelujah!
Look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. He touched my mind. He saved me just in time. I'm gonna praise His name. Each day He's just the same. Come on and praise Him. Look what the Lord has done.
Tag that last line. Come on and praise Him.
Come on and praise Him. Look what the Lord has done.
Oh, sing that tag one more time.
Ba-da-da-da. Come on and praise Him. Look what the Lord has done.
Oh, come on, give Him a shout one more time. Look what the Lord has done. Victory after victory. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now listen to me. Some of you, I know, you're looking at it and you're saying, yeah, but that's for everybody else. But you don't know what's happening in my house. I want you with faith, the same kind of faith those lepers had, when Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. And they said, well, what's the point in going to show myself to the priest? Can't you see my skin? What's the point in shouting to the Lord, look what the Lord has done. He hadn't done anything for me. I hadn't had a paycheck in 2 months. Never could get my unemployment. I don't know where I'm going to go, my job, whatever. I don't know. He said, go show yourself to the priest. I want you to look at the lack. I want you to look at the fear. I want you to look at the pandemic. Look at the virus. Look at whatever it is that's been messing with you. I want you to look at it. And in faith today, you just go ahead and say, yeah, well, look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. And look what He's going to do. He was faithful yesterday, and He's going to be faithful today, and He'll be faithful tomorrow. And He makes a way where there seems to be no way. Oh, He is a way maker this morning. Come on, come on. And I'm going to declare it to everything that stands in the way. He's going to make a way where there seems to be no way. And He'll bring provision in the midst of lack. And He is going to open a door where every other door is closed. And He is going to show us the way. And He is going to be strong in my behalf. And He is going to carry me through this, and there will be victory. Hallelujah. I want you to just tell it to your deepest, darkest fear. Jesus is going to be triumphant over this, and I'm not afraid. Lord, we put our hope in You, and we're going to praise You in the face of anything else going on. We declare it today. You are victor. You are master. You are commander. You are Lord over all, and we declare today by faith we're healed as we go. Provision is going to be there for us. We're going to walk in victory. Lord, change our focus today. I pray, Lord, we'll wake up in the morning and the first thing we think about is the mercy of God that's covered us and our family. We're going to wake up in the morning and declare, look what the Lord has done. He's starting me out. He's given me another day, and I'm going to serve Him and be grateful, and my heart's going to be blessed today. I'll have the strength I need and the provision I need to do everything Jesus wants me to do today. And we will respond with rejoicing. We're going to realize, we're going to respond, and we're going to rejoice. Hallelujah. Let it be for us, Lord. Let it be. Let it be, Lord. I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying it to somebody this morning, that you've been overwhelmed with despair, but the Lord is testifying to you this morning. He's proclaiming to you today that there is a path of victory laid out for you, and you're to turn away from the fear that's gripped your heart and walk in confidence before the Lord. He has made a way, and He will guide you through it. Trust Him. Trust Him. I know it's frightening, but trust Him. He's going to see you through this. There's provision for you today. His mercies are new every morning. His grace is sufficient for you. His provision is adequate and more abundant even than what you expect. He'll provide for you, for your family, for your little ones. He's going to take care of you. It's going to be all right. You hear the word of the Lord today. It's going to be okay. Lord, I thank You. Thank You for bringing hope to us. Thank You, Lord, that when we see everything else taking place, we don't bury our heads, we lift up our heads, and we believe redemption is drawing near. We believe there's provision, so our focus changes today from all the stuff around us to the great hand of the provider. We look to your face, and we, instead of despair, we see victory and provision. Thank you, Lord, for that provision. We've got a reason to rejoice, because look what the Lord has done. Amen. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace today. Amen. 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 Thanks for being here today. I know you haven't been doing this, so don't forget to get your kids. Because some of you might have forgot. So be sure and get them. Thanks for watching us online. Catch us online. Announcements are coming up after this. Thanks. Amen. Bless you.
Hey, Pastor Phil, Pastor Sarah here with some announcements, not for this Wednesday, but for the next Wednesday, August the 5th. Some exciting things are going to happen that day.
That's right. On August the 5th, we are going to begin to offer in-person services for the following departments. So listen closely. ARC Park, that would be ages 0 through 5. Carbondale Kids, kindergarten through 5th grade. CAGI, Carbondale Assembly of God Youth, which is 6th grade through 12th grade. Our new community service with Pastor Brian and the choir rehearsal will all be returning to in-person services on August the 5th.
The homecoming service with yours truly, well, with you too, yeah. So we're going to remain online at least that Wednesday night. There's a lot of moving parts here. We're just trying to get everybody situated. And so we're going to stay online at least that Wednesday night. But all these other things are happening in the house. And so,
yeah.
And plus, New Community and CAGI will also be online as well. So if you're not able to attend live, you can watch them as well as watching the homecoming service live on Facebook.
That's right. So here's what you need to know, because things are a little bit different. Doors will open for all of those services and rehearsals at 6:15. That means that the service will start at 6:30. All services will last only 1 hour, so everything will finish at 7:30. As a result, then, we ask that parents that are bringing kids would remain in the building, attend the new community service, or join the choir, or be a part of the ministries with the ARC Park or kids or youth, but we would like for you to stay in the building so that we can get everybody picked up at 7:30.
And there's something fun going to happen at 7:30, right?
That's right. On August the 5th, we invite everybody who came to then move right on outside for a party in the parking lot. And so we will have food, we will have snow cones for everyone. And so we invite everyone to stay after service and just enjoy a time of fellowship with each other. There's lots of people that we haven't seen in months that'll be returning for the Wednesday night service. And so we would love a chance just to be able to fellowship with everybody. In the parking lot, snow cones, food. It's going to be a lot of fun. So all of that is going to begin happening on August the 5th.
Sounds exciting. You could even, you know, if you're close enough, watch the homecoming service, then just drive up at 7:30 to, you know, snare yourself a snow cone. Who doesn't love a snow cone in August? So I think it's a good idea.
So true.
So, yeah.
Now here's the piece that we need your help with. In order to continue to offer ARC Park and Carbondale Kids in the weeks to come, we need more workers in order to make that happen. Over these last couple of months, we've had a changeover in some of our volunteers. And so if you would prayerfully consider, maybe God is laying it on your heart to be a part of one of the kids' ministries with ARC Park or with Carbondale Kids. And if that's the case, would you contact the church this week? You can go to cagtulsa.com to find the information on how to call the church, how you could email Pastor Brittany or Justin and Valerie Billingsley, who coordinate the ARC Park. But we would love for you to be a part of our children's ministries and help us to reach even more kids.
And we want to ask you just to make it a matter of prayer. So as we return and we see some of the kids from the community that we've not had contact with throughout the summer, I want us to just pray that their hearts would just be joined together. They'll be here for those Wednesday night services, and we can continue to minister Jesus to our kids, to our youth, and to the folk that'll be there in the new community service. So let's make this a real matter of prayer, that God would just show up and show out, as the old saying goes, on that August 5th. And we're just going to celebrate all the good things that God's doing. So
amen to that. So we're looking forward to the future and all that God has for Carbondale, because it is still a place of healing, hope, laughter, and peace for all the people.
Amen. Thanks for watching.